Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And if you do have a Bible with you today, or you follow the scripture on your phone, you might want to keep it open to this chapter. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. What we have here in Acts 4:31 is the end result of a brief prayer that the New Testament church prayed. And the prayer actually begins a few verses up in verse 24. We'll be looking at each part of this prayer because I want this message today not to be just another sermon, another teaching about prayer. I want this to be a practical guide on how we too can pray with power. That's why I'm calling this message Power Praying. The end result of this prayer that the New Testament church prayed was power. The place where they were assembled was shaken with power. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, which brings power. They spoke the word of God with boldness, which requires power. In fact, I want to take a moment here to digress and to back up a little bit to tell you what led to this crisis moment in the church where they were praying this prayer that we're going to be looking at. Peter and John, one day, they were going up to the temple during the hour of prayer. And here was this man who was lame from birth. He was laying at the gate of the temple. He was 40 years old. Everyone knew this man. They knew what his condition was. Even the religious establishment, they knew who this man was. And Peter and John came along, and this man was begging for alms. And they said, "Silver and gold we do not have, but what we have we're going to give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And the Bible tells us that man, after being born lame, laying there for 40 years, he stood to his feet, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. It was a notable miracle. No one could deny, not even the religious establishment. They couldn't deny what happened. But here's what they did. They called Peter and John before this council. And they said to them, By what power or name have you done this? Folks, I want to tell you something right now. And what they were basically saying to them, they were saying, by what authority has this happened? I want to tell you today that this counterculture stuff is not new. And you see, people out there in the world, the secular world, what I like to say to them, and I do say to them at times, by what authority do you speak? Someone says, "I feel that a loving God could not possibly allow people that have done good to end up in hell." By what authority are you basing those feelings on? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. Unless you repent, you will perish." Those are the words of Jesus. That's the authority that I stand on. So if you talk about feelings, what are you talking about? Someone says, "You know, I don't see anything wrong with a man becoming romantically involved with another man, or a woman becoming romantically involved with another woman. I feel that that's okay. I feel that it's okay to abort a child. By what authority are you basing your feelings on? By something that some man told you, or some what are you basing it on? Jesus said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife. That settles it, doesn't it? God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. That's the authority that we stand upon. And the religious establishment, they called Peter and John. They said, by what power, by what name, by what authority are you doing this? And then they told them not to speak. You see, that's what the world would like to tell us. Don't speak. Don't speak the gospel. Don't speak the word of God. That's the issue they have. The issue they have is with God's word. And they told Peter and John to be quiet. Speak no more. You know what Peter and John said? And this brings us to this thing about boldness. They were already speaking in boldness. That's what brought them to this point. And they said, we must obey God rather than man. Who are you going to obey? Obey. Whose authority are you going to base your life upon? God? Or some college professor somewhere? Some philosopher? Some television personality? What? Where are we going to stand? Now, this subject of prayer, I'm talking about power praying, because not all prayer is the same with the same results. I'm talking about power praying as opposed to weak praying, because sometimes we're weak and we pray weak prayers with little or no results. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. I'm talking about power praying as opposed to ineffectual praying. Some prayers don't get off the ground. Some prayers don't get beyond the ceiling, so to speak. Why? Because of the motive, because of the focus. Look at this in James 4:3. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Here's the way it should be, according to James 5:16. It is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person that avails much. I'm talking this morning about power praying as opposed to vain repetition praying. Jesus said this, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. The prayer, listen, the prayer that the New Testament church prayed here that resulted in power, it wasn't with many words. In fact, there's less than 150 words in this prayer that we're looking at this morning. They prayed it in less than 2 minutes. I counted the words and I prayed that prayer. And yet, there was power. Earth-shaking power. And so, as we look at this example here, I would like to point out three parts of power praying that I see here in this example. I want this to be a practical guide for us on how we too can pray with power. Number one, power praying begins with who God is and what God is able to do. This is how they started their prayer up in verse 24. They raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You are God. You made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. You see, power of praying begins with who God is and what God is able to do, because God is bigger than this world or anything in this world. The earth is the Lord's, and all it contains, the world and all those who dwell in it. God is the sovereign Lord of all creation. Do you believe it today? Ah, Lord God, you have made the heavens and the earth. By your great power, by your outstretched arm, nothing is too difficult for you. Do you see why we begin with God? We begin prayer with who God is, what God is able to do. And I want to tell you today, God is bigger than COVID. Amen. God is bigger than Kohl's and Target. God is even bigger than Bud Light. God is bigger than a hailstorm. God is bigger than the government of the United States of America. God is bigger than the devil and all the workers of iniquity. And God is bigger than your life. And whatever problem, your problem might seem like a mountain today. God is bigger than your life and whatever problem or burden you may have in your life. When I was working on this sermon this week up in my office upstairs, I've got to climb up 2 flights of stairs to get up there every day. No one feels bad for me? How do you think I stay so slim and healthy, you know? But anyways, I was up there and I was praying and working on this, and I looked over there on the bookshelf and I saw this little paperback book. It's not a thick book. It's just a little paperback book that I've had for years. It's a great book. It was written in 1961 by J.B. Phillips. And in the title of it, I looked over there, and because I was dealing with this, it just jumped out at me. And the title of that little book is Your God is Too Small. And what he does in that book, he takes about 10 different ways, like where people project their feelings and their what they think. They project that on God. You know, God becomes Santa Claus or a mean parent or only meek and mild. He goes through all these things of all these projections of the way that people project upon God. And that's how we limit God. We limit God like that. And you see, folks, this is where the spiritual battle is. Because the devil would like to keep us from praying. And then when we do pray, from in prayer, seeing God as He really is. Because when you see God as He really is, as the creator of all that is, and He has all the power, then you're going to realize it. And the devil works against that. The devil would like to keep us all distracted. So that we don't pray and do the most important things. And, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've never had anybody come up to me and say, Pastor Mark, you know, God has really just convicted me about my prayer life, and He's telling me that I'm praying too much and I need to cut back in prayer. You know, not at all. That's not the problem. The problem is, you know what the problem is? We have not. Why? Because we ask not. And when we begin to pray and see God as He is and what He's able to do, that's when the power comes. I've always used this illustration about prayer. And just say I call you up one day and I'm on your caller ID. And it says Pastor Mark or whatever is on there. And I hear that you're about ready to answer, but before you can say a word, I just start talking. Hey, this is Pastor Mark. And I start telling you all the problems I'm dealing with and all of the whatever, you know, and I just start pouring it out. And then before you can even say a word again, I just hang up on you. Do we do that to God in prayer? I'm just asking. Is that how we approach prayer? Look, I need to move on here. There's so much more. But when you begin to pray, by seeing God, who God is, and what God is able to do, I think three things will happen. Number one, I think when you do that, your focus is going to shift from your problems. That doesn't mean God's not concerned about your problems. He wants you to pour out your problems. But instead of just running in, you know, with that, then your focus will begin to shift from your problems to God's power. Number two, your faith, I believe, will increase because you're going to begin to see, yes, God is who He says He is. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too difficult for God. And then I believe also there will be power because your prayers will begin to bear fruit. Look, the fruit may not come instantly. It may not come on your timetable. But when you begin to really pray with power, I think things are going to happen. If we as First Baptists, we begin to, what are we willing to believe God for? The God of the universe. What can we believe Him for here in First Baptist? Are we limiting God? Because there's nothing too difficult for the Lord. And when we begin to see who He is and what He's able to do, then there's power. Let me move on to the second one. Power praying. Power praying prays in agreement with what God has already said. Now, I want to begin with talking about singing because there are different modes and forms of singing. You know, we people could sing a hymn. People could sing a praise song, and the praise song might be nice words, but it may not be scripture. But then we can pray, we can literally sing, rather. We can sing God's Word. Sometimes on Wednesday night over there, I'll lead in a scripture song. I don't believe you can improve on singing scripture, can you? You can't improve on that. If you're singing the pure Word of God, and the same thing about prayer, you can't improve upon praying the Word of God. Now look what they did here in the New Testament church. They prayed Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. And then down in verse 28, they said to do whatever your hand and your purpose determine before to be done. What were they doing? They were praying the Word of God. They were praying in agreement with God's foreknowledge, what God had already said in His Word. And when you do that, there will be power in your prayers. I'll give you some examples of what I'm talking about here. Does anyone here have an unsaved loved one in your family? Do you have an unsaved neighbor, unsaved friend? Okay, you're praying. You pray for them. When you pray, why not remind God about His Word? Lord, You did not come to condemn the world. You came that the world might be saved. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so I'm claiming Your saving power for, and You list the person by name. You speak their name. And you claim God's provision based upon His Word. There's power in that, folks. I believe it. Or let's just say you're just being bombarded with some type of temptation, whatever it may be. It may be a variety of temptation, but you're being bombarded with temptation and you're battling it. And that's when you pray, Lord, you promised in Your Word that there'd be no temptation that would overtake me, but You would give a way of escape. I'm claiming that based upon Your Word. Some illness or some disease comes upon you. Pray the Word of God. Lord, You said You would heal all my diseases. By Your stripes, I am healed. And you claim it. And even if God doesn't heal you in the way that you expect, He'll give you the grace to deal with it. And even if you die, If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, God's going to take you up in His loving arms and you're going to have the ultimate healing. The ultimate healing, being with Him for all eternity. So I'm talking here about power praying. Acknowledge who God is. Pray the Word of God. I'm giving you the example here that we find right here in the New Testament church. Praying the Word will do two things. Look at this. What happens when you start praying the Bible? It's going to keep you from praying amiss. To pray God's Word is to pray intelligently. And if you're getting God's Word in you and you're beginning to pray that, you're going to be lining up your life with the will of God. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And He gives us those things that we're... Because it's in the will of God. We're not praying amiss. And then number two, it will release power. That brings me to the third point that I want to make here very importantly. Look at this. Power praying moves the hand of God and releases the healing and miracle power of Jesus. I believe today Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that? I believe He's still able to work miracles. He's still able to heal. And look what they said in verse 30. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. We read in Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, God's hand is not short. Understand that today. God's hand's not short, that it cannot save. His ear is not dull, that He cannot hear. The problem's not with God. The problem's with us. If we allow sin to dominate and we're not praying, then nothing is going to happen. I was reading in the Gospel according to Mark this week in chapter 15, right at the beginning of that chapter, verse 1, it says that they tied the hands of Jesus and led Him away. And I started thinking about that. Then I remember two places in the New Testament where it says that Jesus could do no miracles there, not because He didn't want to, but because of the unbelief of the people. So what did they do? What did they do? They tied His hands. So think about this. When we fail to pray, when we fail to believe, are we tying the hands of God? Have we tied the hands of God here? Have you tied the hands of God in your life? Or are you believing for God to do great things? I want to give you some good news today. Here's what God can do for us and for our nation. How many of you want to see a turnaround in the United States of America? How many of you want to see these corrupt... We need a work of God in our nation. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. See, I pray that verse. I pray and claim that verse for our nation. I want to close with, before we're going to have Holy Communion, and then we're blessed to have a wonderful couple joining our church family today at the end. But before we have communion, just to wrap up this sermon, the disciples came to Jesus one day, and as far as I know, this is the only time they ever asked Jesus to teach them something. I don't recall any other time where they said, Lord, teach us. But in this case, they said, Lord, remember what they said? Lord, teach us to what? To pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Why? Have you ever thought about that? Why? Out of all the things, why did they say that? To me, it's very clear. Because they saw Jesus and his prayer life and the miracle power that resulted from it. That's why they wanted to know how to pray.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through his word. Blessings.